Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Elizabeth Border, and she has written a book called Patriots Warning, America Attacked. And of course, this is a fascinating book. Of course, it's her life story, of course, taking up against the backdrop of what's really going on in America today, and the fact that we are under attack today, and we are at war, but for entirely different reasons than we know. And of course, the first book, there are two books. One is America Attacked, and the other is Chaos and Chemical Trails. Elizabeth, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Dr. Stan.
Well, why don't you talk a little bit about your books, or what would you like to talk about?
I'll be happy to do that. And in the last hour, my husband and I were both listening to that excellent interview with David Ray Griffin, and so many things about 9-1-1 that you brought out, including Jim Mars's reaction. I was thinking in my book, the first part of my book has many ship of state sound bites. And it's amazing that some of these came right from the mainstream newspapers and magazines. And I'd just like to read the first two.
Go right ahead.
Perpetrators and failed protectors. In Egypt, a columnist for the country's leading pro-government newspaper offered a strangely popular theory about the World Trade Center attacks. The perpetrators are Americans, he wrote. And that, Dr. Stan, came from U.S. News and World Report, October 8, 2001, page 46.
Well, it's unfortunate, but of course, there are many people throughout the world who are very, very suspicious of the motives of our government. In fact, we've all heard about the terrible, terrible bombing that occurred over in Beirut, Lebanon, just yesterday, when, of course, the former premier of Lebanon was blown up along with a dozen other people. And yet, of course, there are articles coming out of Great Britain, in fact, published by people who write for International Affairs, which is the English extension of the Council on Foreign Relations, and they really should know. And they're saying the Lebanese had no advantage of doing this. The Israelis had no advantage of doing this. The Syrians certainly had no advantage of doing this. But the people who wanted to provoke a war with Syria certainly did, and that would be the Americans. So this is suggested. An article today, you won't read about it in your paper, but written by a writer from the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the British counterpart of the Council on Foreign Relations, is suggesting American intelligence did this to begin to justify the coming war with Syria. Now, don't know whether it's true or not, but I am saying that people do have some very, very strange views, or maybe they have some very accurate views overseas, that sometimes you provoke an incident so that you can justify a response.
Oh, yes. And there you reminded me of, in your book, Brotherhood of Darkness, how when you really know the truth, I was fascinated by the part that you wrote about the two Russian revolutions, the March Revolution and the Bolshevik. And when I saw the statistics for Herbert Hoover, how much was donated to the anti-communist region and how much toward the Bolsheviks, we really helped to bring communism in with our support, didn't we?
Well, of course, what Herbert Hoover's memoirs show is that 97% of the massive aid we gave to Russia immediately after the First World War, when communism wasn't established there at all, most of the country was controlled by the anti-communists, but the American aid all went to the communists. Well, 97% of it. Why would we do something that stupid? Unintentionally. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Elizabeth Border, and we're going to be talking with Elizabeth about her two books that she's just brought out. The first one is called America Attacked. The second book is called A Patriot's Warning. They're both called Patriot's Warning, but the first one is America Attacked, and the second one is Chaos and Chemtrails. And they're books trying to awaken the American people as to what's really going on at the present time. So, Elizabeth, why don't you go ahead and pick up the story? You were beginning to read to us some of the things from the first of your two books.
Yes, I was just talking about some of the Ship of State sound bites. These are all from newspapers or mainstream magazines or some authors. My second soundbite was from Will Thomas's book, All Fall Down, page 13. The day after the attacks, the New York Fire Department chief arson investigator told television reporters, quote, internal explosives, end of quote, were used to bring down the World Trade Center towers.
But, of course, immediately the entire line changed. Now, I don't know what brought down the Twin Towers, but I do know the Building 7 was brought down by explosives on that day. And there are many people who believe that, of course, the internal explosives were down there at the base because when they actually uncovered all the debris of the World Trade Center, they found molten metal around the 46 major pillars that held that up. Now, what would have melted the pillars down in the basement? Certainly not the fire up on the 96th or 75th floors. There was something happened in the basement of both buildings where there was so much tremendous heat that they were able to melt those pillars, which, of course, without the central support, the building would have collapsed exactly as we saw it collapsing.
Yes, Dr. Stan, and then my book also gets into the Global Hawk scenario. I have a little quote here from Carol A. Valentine, but the masterminds would not need competent pilots if they had Global Hawk technology. Did you notice that during the event, September 11th, and for weeks after, we heard no excerpts from the conversations between the air traffic control centers and the four aircraft? I believe the answer to this question is simple. If we could hear the conversations that took place, we would hear the airline pilots telling air traffic control that the controls of their airplanes would not respond. The pilots, of course, would have no way of knowing that their craft had been fitted with Global Hawk technology programmed to take over their planes.
Well, of course, we don't know that that took effect, but it was very interesting that 6 months before the 911 attack, there was a program, and it was sort of a takeoff of the X-Files, and I've forgotten what it was, the Lone Gunman. I think that they were these three fellows who are part of the X-Files. And this one program told the story about these three fellows. They were on a plane that was headed to New York, and suddenly somebody, some invisible force, took over the controls, and the plane was being flown directly into, of all things, the World Trade Center. And of course, these three computer experts had to figure out how to regain control of the plane, because there was no way for the pilots to be able to control the plane at all. And just moments before the plane crashed into the World Trade Center, why, they regained control, and they were able to zoom up above and, of course, save the World Trade Center, save the people on the plane. It was so interesting that that program was never played again.
That really is quite stunning, isn't it? And you know, with my book, as you well know, Dr. Stan, it's a combination of documented information and a story, a narrative about my family, my father and mother, basically. And on the cover, I think the cover is rather stunning, there are two little children sitting on a tractor in western Pennsylvania, and the year, I think, is probably, well, I look at my beginning of my book, and I thought that the year was probably 1946, and I'd like to just read a little bit from my prologue, if I might.
You go right ahead.
Old America will not die. In our most cherished dreams, her beauties and allure are stronger than ever. The year in the photograph is probably 1946. Marguerite, small boy, was born close to D-Day, 1944. At the time of Pearl Harbor, her little girl was not yet a year old. The setting is the children's backyard in their small village 2 hours east of Pittsburgh. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great proponent of individualism, spoke in poetic terms of an oversoul, a transcendent reality found within all living nature, including man. It may well be that western Pennsylvania inhabitants have a uniquely hardy variation of this inner mystical fiber honed by their struggles early in the Republic against tyranny's dangers, even their audacious daring against Illuminati fomented events when they courageously mounted the Whiskey Rebellion, a quality of being at once uniquely generous, courteous, and yet as indomitable as their own Allegheny Mountains. Winters there are often harsh, jobs frequently scarce. Yet if, since the time of Penn's Woods, more than two centuries ago, each resident marches to his or her own drumbeat, the accompanying glorious epiphany is, and has always been, the individual is all. America's liberties, tenaciously cherished here, freedom of speech, sanctity of individual property rights. In the unforgettable tractor scene, something of this unbowed pioneer passion to remain free is seen on the little boy's clenched face. It makes him look much older than two, burdened with more than the play act of driving. He is almost an augur, possessing a somber glimpse of the future. And Dr. Stan, and I go on to tell later, and this was actually how it happened with my mother on September 11th. As when telephone connections malfunction for whatever obscure reasons, and one hears a perfect echo of his own voice while he talks, their 90-year-old mother lifts the receiver and hears her son, with quiet dignity, convey the shocking vision intuited by his smaller self so long ago. And I, by the way, had pointed out that the children in this scene were only about 40 air seconds from the crash of Flight 93. And what the words were these, that the son told his mother, "Our nation is in dire peril." Her son tells his mother, exact words she, Marguerite, will memorize, later thinking how succinct and fitting they were as she watches days of ever-bloating television coverage of the chaos. There is even what some claim to be the face of Satan himself gloating in the smoke above Ground Zero. The anthrax deaths will come later. So ordinary it seems to them, the children, at play in their yard in a tiny town. Yet to us, looking back from a distant vantage point in time, the scenic backdrop is extraordinary. One small farm, a neighbor's house, some variegated tree shapes scattered across mounding foothills, the unmistakable beginnings of the towering Alleghenies. A warning wind blows. These indefatigable mountains whisper, "This is the light of freedom." And this is the warning to all of us, is it not, Dr. Stan?
I think the people have to understand that freedom is a very, very special thing. There's only been one country, in all history that's had the freedom that we have, because this was the only country in history that acknowledged that freedom came from God. That was what our Declaration of Independence said, and of course the Constitution was written to guarantee those freedoms that we had, that were our inherent freedoms. In fact, the Declaration of Independence talks about our right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness that comes from our Creator. And then it goes on to say, and to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. That was what it was all about. That's what the Constitution was about. And we limited the power of the central government, and we were going to take care of matters of life, liberty, and property at the state and more so at the local level. But you see, the people who want a faster society have to centralize every power in the central government, and they needed an incident. They needed a dramatic incident to get the American people, in the name of fighting terrorism, to give up their freedom. What most Americans don't understand is that the Defense Department is collecting dossiers on every citizen. The House has voted for a new ID card for every citizen. Oh, we're going to call it a driver's license, but it will be a federal specified ID card. And of course, certainly we're not going to give these to the illegal immigrants. We're doing nothing to stop the illegal immigrants. We're allowing them to come in so we can justify having everybody have to be numbered. Everybody will have to be watched. Dossiers, and if anybody questions or collecting dossiers, let me suggest the book Fixing Intelligence by General William Odom, who headed the National Security Agency, the top spy agency in America, perhaps in the world. And in his book, Fixing Intelligence, written in 2003, he can't tell us what's going on because he signed all these promises. He won't, but he can ask questions like, should the CIA be assassinating people? Should the CIA have journalists planted in the media? Should the Defense Department be collecting dossiers on American citizens? Well, believe me, it's got a lot worse since that time. And where was the outcry from the good people? why we think this is never going to affect us. And yet, if you study the history of what happened in Germany after the burning of the Reichstag, it's like deja vu all over again, except now we have computers and the ability to monitor every telephone call, every fax, every email, every action, who you called, where you are, track your car, track your finances, track your medical records, and never tell your doctor anything honest because it'll all be available to the federal government. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Well, Dr. Stan, your very, very serious concerns are there, and I believe that we all realize this in our deepest soul. Today I heard Joan Vion. I've heard her many times on your program with such wonderful interviews, and she was on Genesis, and someone asked her what to do. And I think it was implied that even if we don't win this battle, what to do. And she told how in the last year she had drawn closer to the Lord again, that she realized the key thing was to get on your knees and pray to Him and let the Holy Spirit help us. And I'm thinking of an elderly black friend who didn't understand what we're in immediately till we began to explain it more. And we told her we were writing a book, and she prayed for us. And she made this statement. She says, we need people to give us courage. And I wrote that in my little book where I can look at that frequently to inspire me. And I appeal to the listeners to start to do something, because we may win this fight. Andrew Jackson believed in God and I believe had a clean life, and he did win against the globalist forces. And this H.R. 418, it's so important. It was hard for me, even though I'm now on the radio, it was hard for me to go to the telephone after I heard caller Roger alert us all, but I did do it. And for Maryland, I called to Representative Wayne Gilchrist, his office, and I was met with a very polite person. I gave my message, and then I called to Roscoe Bartlett's office, and again, there was a young staffer. And I believe that we can have an influence on these young staffers.
Well, now, of course, Elizabeth, what is this legislation you're talking about?
The ID Act.
All right, the ID. Of course, the House has already passed this. It will go now to the Senate, and so we can try to stop it in the Senate. We can try to stop it. Encourage the president, but I can assure you that the people who control George Bush, and believe me, he is controlled by Dick Cheney and the people who surround him. He doesn't make these decisions on his own. He is simply the figurehead for the power elite who really control the leadership of both political parties. But right now, of course, they're out to discredit Christianity, and they're going to do a very, very good job of it. When, of course, we've been promised there'll be no draft, and there's going to be a draft. We've been promised we're not going to Iran. Condoleezza Rice says we're not going to attack Iran, and yet, of course, we are going to attack Iran. We promise we're not going to attack Syria, but we are going to attack Syria. That's what I believe this terrible, terrible thing that happened in Lebanon was all about yesterday. Of course, to point the finger of guilt at Syria, obviously, and Israel and Lebanon are breaking off relationships with Syria. But we don't know who blew up that terrible, terrible accident and killed the former premier of Lebanon. No man's life is safe when there are forces of organized evil there that are manipulating the various players in this grand chessboard as we move America towards World War III.
That is the real key there, Dr. Stan. And you again told that so eloquently in your book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And anyone who hasn't read your book should read it. I read it, as you know, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, along with Constance Cumby's excellent book. And both of those books are really coming true in a big way. The spirits of darkness are trying to take complete control, as you say, bringing us into World War III.
And into that. Well, when we get back, let's talk more about your book, Patriot's Warning, America Attacked. We'll be back in just a moment, and of course we can touch on the second book, Chaos and Chemtrails. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are chemtrails, and we are heading into a period of chaos and crisis here in America with increasing levels of violence all throughout our nation, not happening by accident, but by intent.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 on the route down off the coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Elizabeth Porter. Her book is Patriot's Warning. Elizabeth, how can people get copies of your book? Either the first book, which is America Attacked, or the second book, Chaos and Chemicals, or both of them together if they'd like. How can they get the copies?
And it's Chaos and Chemtrails.
Right.
And, well, we hope that this 800 number is working. We had one, and there was a glitch with it. So I will give the number, and then I will also tell them, if they have a pencil or pen, how to get it. The toll-free number is 1-888-239-3232. And again, that's 1-888-239-3232. And if you have any trouble with that, you can write a check for $27 post-pay. That's for both books. I believe that you will really want the set in all probability, for they really enhance each other. And you write the check to PFI, P as in Paul, F as in Frank, I as in Integrity, and you send it to Post Office Box 181, Kutztown, KUTZTOWN, Pennsylvania, 19530. So again, that's P.O. Box 181, Kutztown, Pennsylvania, 19530, and you write the check for $27 to PFI. And of course, if you want only one book, it's $15 postpaid. And getting back to my book, I want to say that there was a personal odyssey that led me to write my books. And really, the role models of my parents seem to figure in this. And I'm thinking about a little part in my book in chapter 2, just a paragraph about my mother. And she just passed away February 22nd of this last year. So it will soon be a year ago that she left Earth. And it says in my book, Marguerite had been an eyewitness to the great global scourge, the flu epidemic of 1918. She could always enthrall her little boy and girl when she told of an incident she remembered from when she was only 7. Marguerite saw a large farm sled on runners being pulled by 2 white horses through deep snow. On it was one coffin for the flu victim mother and her newborn baby. The dead woman was a neighbor who had tailored clothes for Marguerite and her brothers and sisters. And of course, I go on in Patriot's Warning, too, to talk extensively about things like the mycoplasma and the viruses and the bioengineered things that we may have to deal with. It was interesting for me to realize that my mother's lifespan had encompassed that first scourge, and here she was reading my work in the summer of 2002. And of course, it was humorous. She said, I like your writing, but I don't believe any of this. But by the time she came back in the year 2003, she read a little bit more, and I know that she was beginning to question some of these things, Dr. Spann. And I also want to tell the listeners that I believe that she had a waking vision. She had to show great courage late in her life because she had to have a leg amputated. And so in the hospital, my brother was visiting her, and they tried to call us, and we were not in the house. So there was a message left in the answering machine, and these were the exact words. She said, I see a war in heaven against God. Oh, Jesus, help us. No one has ever loved you more. And I believe these were words for the remnant. Your listeners, Dr. Spann, are the remnant, and we can no longer worry about the ones who will not listen in the mainline churches, people who are cowardly, who will not take a stand. We cannot worry anymore. As you always point out, we must do our best. We must face the Lord someday and tell Him what we did with our talent. Did we bury it? Did we do something? And you always say the results are left to the Lord. So I hope that I can give some people a lift this evening, that you will not be encompassed by fear, but you will realize God has a plan for each of our lives. He has a plan for history. As I look back, my husband and I were prepared to do this work. We had long, terrible years of illness, joblessness, but before that even began, many years ago in my husband's apartment, we lived just 3 doors away from each other in an apartment building, and I had walked in to say hello to him. We were not even dating. His telephone rang, and he walked out to his kitchen, and while he was there, I looked at his books, and there were some wonderful books, I think Sandberg's Lincoln, some other books, literature books, and as I looked at them, something wonderful happened.
All right, you're going to have to hold off on that thought, because we're going to have to go to the break here, and when we get back, if anybody would like to call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
On the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Elizabeth Porter. Her book is called Patriot's Warning, America Attacked, and Patriot's Warning 2, Chaos and Chemtrails. And Elizabeth, of course, is telling us what's going on in the world today. And, of course, she has a lot of wonderful quotations here against the backdrop of her own experience, her own life and growing up in America, and how America is changing. And, of course, you have to realize America is not changing by accident. America is changing by intent, because there's an organized effort to destroy this country from within. Why? Because America is the only country that can head off this move towards the New World Order and the New World Religion. After all, it's America's wealth, it's America's military might that is imposing this on the entire world, and so much of what you see going on out there is simply play-acting, supposedly the communists are our enemies, and yet we back communism going all the way back to 1918, as Elizabeth said. You know, immediately after the First World War, when there was tremendous starvation all throughout Europe, and specifically in Russia, and the communists were incredibly weak, and there was no way that they were going to be able to hold out until massive aid came from the United States. And any of you who doubt that need to read Herbert Hoover's memoirs, or we'll be glad to send you the page from his memoirs, where he tells about how 97% of the aid that was given to Russia was given to the communists. Why would we be backing a group that said they were going to destroy capitalism and destroy the West? Why, very simply, we were creating the best enemy that money could buy. You have to have an enemy to rally the people behind the leaders, as terrible as that seems. There really are evil and wicked people who work that way. In fact, Plato wrote about that in The Republic when he said, and I quote, when the tyrant has disposed of his enemies by conquest or treaty, and there's nothing to fear from them, then he's always out creating another enemy, so the people will need a leader, and that's what it's all about. And of course you have an enemy, and then people give up their freedom, they look to their leader to protect them from the enemy that has often been actually created by the very leaders. And all you need, well, we won't get into that, Elizabeth. Let's talk more about your book and the message that you're trying to get to our listeners.
And what you just said, Dr. Stan, this conspiracy seems to be coming to its culmination. And I think that this book tried to come out for almost 2 years, and it had to come out now with God's timing and your wise advice in reordering some of the material in a different way. And I think that my point is that God has a plan, and I was telling right before the break, God's plan sees far ahead. And I think the book has come out now either to help us toughen up our strength and get victory over the New World Order, or if we're not going to have that victory, it will help us to have courage and faith and the love of our families and the love of the Lord. It will strengthen us to be able to go through the tribulation or whatever is going to come. So what happened years ago when I was standing in my future husband's apartment looking at those wonderful books, including Lincoln, the books just seemed to shine out at me with a wonderful kind of a light, kind of a golden aura, I guess I'd have to say. And there were beautiful words that came into my mind, "This is your destiny." And it was a wonderful mountaintop experience, and I knew that it was something special, and I knew it was something from the Lord. And I also knew that it included my future husband, even though we weren't dating. So just like that, he came around the corner, and I was wiping tears away from my face, and I never told him about this experience for a long, long time. And we didn't really think about this. It later on in the years of stress and turmoil and joblessness and so forth and illness. Till recently, I said, "Wow, do you remember?" So now was the time. And now was the time that after we began ordering materials, we first began to learn about things in the year 2000, and we began to order materials from the Prophecy Club, and finally we saw some orders were vandalized. It seemed as though we were somewhat targeted for our new viewpoints. And finally, there was an incident of intimidation, and I do have that in the book. I think the readers will find that very interesting. And shortly after that incident, my elderly mother called me and said there had been a wonderful article that appeared in the Johnstown, Pennsylvania Tribune Democrat on October 22nd, and this was the headline, "Symbol of Faith, Bible Survives Fiery Flight 93 Crash."
Now, this would have been October then of the year 2001, yes. The month following the 911 attack.
Yes.
And of course,
exactly.
The plane going down, and however it went down, there was a Bible that was found in the wreckage. Is that right?
That is right. And
everything else is burned, and there's a Bible there, and it's opened to what verse?
It was opened to 2 Kings, I believe I'm correct. It was the Divided Kingdom, First Book of Kings, pardon me, chapters 12 through 14. And Sam Wills, who was an eyewitness, 25-year-old Somerset Area High School computer specialist, and he said there were only two things on the ground, a burning tire from the landing gear and the Bible laying open on the ground with its pages, as white as snow. So you'll hear more about this if you do order my book. And there was a Roman Catholic priest who was the director of pastoral care at the Conemaugh Memorial Medical Center, and this was his comment. He said, "In my own personal opinion, this is a miracle, and a sign from God that while the things we have can all be destroyed, the Word will never die, and God's love for us will never pass." And then I believe Sam Will, the computer specialist, commented thus, "I believe it is a sign that evil did not prevail. and that there is a power stronger than anything on earth. And that's what we have to keep in our minds and hearts, Dr. Stan.
Well, I'm sure that there really is a power that is more powerful than all the evil that grips our world today. But I think that our job is to do our best and honor him. Well, now, of course, what is the overall message you want to get out through your books?
Well, I think that this is pretty much it. The beauty of the love of Jesus Christ and the love of sovereignty. And I wanted to really translate the vision of my father, who would have been upset to see God's people duped and led like little lambs to the slaughter.
Well, I don't understand why the Christian population of America is backing this senseless war in Iraq. The administration has admitted that they were wrong in going in, and that, well, once we're there, why isn't we a lot better off without Saddam Hussein? We sure, the world is better off without Saddam Hussein, but people have forgotten that we backed Saddam Hussein all during the 1980s, and at least according to Robert Baer, who is a CIA agent working in Iraq in the 1990s, and of course in his book, See No Evil, which we carry, he said that every Iraqi he met, not most Iraqis or some Iraqis, but every Iraqi he met, believed the United States was keeping Saddam Hussein in power. And then he tells how every time the Iraqi military tried to overthrow Saddam, why we betrayed them, and of course they were arrested and tortured and killed. Why would we be keeping Saddam Hussein in power? Unless maybe there's a timetable for what's going on today, and there's a much larger plan that most people have any idea of, and I believe, of course, that plan is leading us ever closer to World War III. I believe that we are flying drone planes over Iran today. Information, you can go to Google now if you have a computer and type in Iran drone planes, and you'll find we've been flying drone planes over Iran for a year. That's an act of war. We have, according to Seymour Hersh, Special Forces units operating in Iran. That's an act of war. We just haven't told the American people yet. We're going to go to war. There's going to be a draft. There are going to be more attacks on America. There are going to be terrible tragedies here and a horrible reaction as we move into a nuclear war in the Middle East. And perhaps, well, if we were to believe Ezekiel 38, verse 6, perhaps even on those distant isles, or those distant isles, the America, where they bring the fire down from the sky. It was prophesied over 3,000 or almost 3,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago or so or more, and so many of the things prophesied then seem to be coming to pass today.
Yes, Henry Gruber, Dimitri Dudeman see similar things. Yes, and something I failed to point out in this program that you know, the Flight 93 Bible. The FBI did not want to talk about this. They really did not want this to come to light. And that was something that, in my mind, made the whole thing even more credible.
And I think it was so interesting, though, that they did put the one passport, the so-called slightly singed or slightly burned, partly burned passport, supposedly, they got out of the hijacker's pocket and got out of the burning plane and just happened to drift down and be found right next to that crash site. They put that up on the FBI webpage for several days, and then I figured maybe the American people really weren't that stupid that they would believe that the only thing that survived, not any of the bodies, not even any of the wreckage, because if you look at the hole, there was no wreckage. Just this passport that came out of the hijacker's pocket. I would say he probably rolled down the window and threw it out before the plane went down so that his relatives would know he was on board. That's the only logical explanation, unless it was planted by the FBI and then put up on their webpage, but they didn't mention the Bible.
It's just amazing. And you ask what message I want to get out. Here's another quote from my book. My father was one of the best Christian men I ever knew in my life. For his daughter, one memory of her father would define the meaning of his entire existence. This incident could be seen, too, as an allegory, a patriot taking action to save his countrymen. She remembered how the two of them stood in his barn as he showed Elizabeth the tiny newborn creature he lifted into his arms, taken from the surety of coming misery and death. The rescue was so typical of him. This calf had been rejected by its mother and was bound to die of starvation. As Blake gently carried the calf, he explained to his daughter that he was going to try to place it under another mother, one presently engaged in feeding her own progeny. Sure enough, the ruse worked. The mother cow fed the orphan, too. The foundling's life was saved. And so I want to know that I am doing my duty as my father's daughter. Late in life, he was part Irish, and he said, if I were a young man again, I'd lead a tax revolt. And I think he would have. He was a very gentle shepherd of a man, but he had the true grit of someone who would not stand by and let the evil occur. And I heard Ron Paul's voice saying that this future, the future of all of us with this ID, means that certain persons will not be able to fly or take the train, and the biometric info will be collected, not only in a national way, but internationally. So what are we heading toward, Dr. Stan?
I think we're headed towards a police state here in America in the name of fighting those wicked terrorists. And yet, of course, the government steadfastly refuses to try to seal off our country. You know, I saw a movie over the weekend, and it was a story of ancient Rome and Great Britain under ancient Rome. And, you know, they had built a wall all across the whole country of Britain. At that time, they didn't have the earth movers. They didn't have the forklifts and the other things that we have, the cranes. But they built a great stone wall, 30 or 40 feet high, all across Great Britain to separate the barbarian north from the civilized Roman south. The Chinese built a wall that went thousands of miles across China, but we can't do anything to protect our borders. Gee shucks, we just have no way to do that. Of course, we can put a man on the moon, we can send probes to Mars, but we can't stop those immigrants from coming in, whether they be Mexican, whether they be terrorists, whether they be from Iraq, wherever they're from. We can't, no, we could, of course, stop them tomorrow. We don't want to. We want to create the crisis situation. We want to have all the immigrants here, and then that justifies giving ID cards to every American. You see, you create the problem, then you come up with a solution that you had planned all the time. We know that this is planned because this whole illegal immigration movement is being funded by the Ford Foundation that has been funding subversion in America for 100 years. And if you doubt that, we have two books. One is called Importing Revolution. It's written about the immigration movement. The other is Foundations, Their Power and Influence. The book is almost 50 years old, but it's as true today. It has been effectively suppressed in America, available only through Radio Liberty, because we're trying to get people to understand that the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Bilderbergers, and the Trilateral Commission, and the Club of Rome have been helping and aiding and financing communism since its very inception. The best enemies that money could buy. And if you haven't seen my video, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, my interviews with Professor Sutton before he passed away, that is The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, or read his book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. You really need to. And we've got Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger. Do you have a question?
Yeah, thanks. And the national ID card isn't a done deal just yet. That is, I hadn't heard that the Senate passed the real ID.
No, they haven't. The House passed, but not the Senate.
And in any event, it'll come back to the House anyway, probably for a post-conference vote on almost the same bill. So we still want to call and oppose that H.R. 418, the Real ID Act, and the toll-free number one last time was 877-762-8762.
One more time, Roger. 877-what?
762-8762.
Well, right now, of course, the thing to do is call your senator and tell them that this is one more step towards the police state. And it's not going to do anything about the illegal immigration. We're doing everything we can to encourage immigration. Every illegal immigrant gets free medical care just going to an emergency room, and you can't turn them away. Every illegal immigrant gets free education. You come here to California, you get a subsidized college education, which, of course, you're an American citizen from Nevada or Oregon. You can't come here and go to our colleges at the lower tuition rate that's available to our citizens, but an illegal immigrant can't. Why would that be? Unless we're doing everything we can to encourage illegal immigration, to create the problem, to justify the ID card and the increased surveillance and all of the things that go with any police state. It's like looking back on Hitler's Germany and deja vu all over again. Anything else, Roger?
God bless you all.
God bless. Thanks very much. And Elizabeth, we're just about out of time. What are your parting thoughts you would like to leave with our listeners out across America today?
Well, I think that we must not stop trying to get the information out, and we must not stop praying that God will shatter the reprobate mind, because we're a people that no longer care about our neighbors. We don't really honor Jesus. And if we did, we couldn't stand to think of our troops over there not having the proper armor on their vehicles, being subjected to the depleted uranium. I think once the draft comes, some people are going to really wake up.
Oh, but of course, they assure us there's not going to be any draft. They would never draft. They would never force people to serve, except, of course, if you're already in the military and they just extend your enlistment without your permission. But as the war expands, and you think our troops are really coming home? They just pulled out 15,000 troops from Iraq. What they don't tell you is they put in 15,000 troops about 3 weeks ago, and now they pulled them out, and they tell us our troops are coming home. It's all that perception having nothing to do with reality. God bless you, Elizabeth. Thank you for writing the book, and thank you for valuing our freedom. Good night, and God bless you.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me tell you about a great four-tape set we have. Nobody has anything quite like it. It's called The New Order of the Barbarians, and it's basically four interviews, one that I did and three that were done by Randy Engel, who is a pro-life activist, with a Dr. Dinigan. And Dr. Dinigan was a pediatrician who practiced in Pittsburgh for many years, but back in 1969, when he was a very young doctor, he attended a medical meeting there where Dr. Richard Day spoke, and I think this was maybe in March or April or May of 1969, and at that time Dr. Richard Day was the director of Planned Parenthood, and Dr. Day said, turn off your tape recorders, don't take any notes, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. There is a group, and I work with them, it's called The Order. And, of course, they have a master plan. And, first of all, there are too many people in the world, so they're going to create new diseases so that, of course, get rid of people to kill them off. They're going to withhold treatments for cancer at the Rockefeller Foundation because, of course, people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. He talked about how they were going to, of course, start trying to focus our attention on sports and pay the sports figures fabulous salaries so that everybody would want to be a sports figure, how they would begin making better cars in Japan than American cars to begin to shift the manufacturing potential of America to other countries. Now, this is 1969. The tapes, many of these were done in the early 1990s, but we have them. A four-tape set called The New Order of the Barbarians, and you can get the transcript of three of those talks. It's available. It's extra, but you'll want to get the transcript when you get The New Order of the Barbarians. Get it, listen to it, copy it. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. A beautiful description of the evil that we face today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America, and even here in the Central Coast of California, that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. We're dependent on those of you who listen to our programs and believe that there's a problem and would like to help us. Our telephone number, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or subscribe to our newsletter, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, we'll be glad to send you one. Our November newsletter tells you the story of fluoride and how it's being used to poison the minds of our children and lower their IQs, which is one reason why our students are doing so poorly in competition with other students today. And of course, then we also have my December newsletter is Dr. William Hersey's testimony before the Senate in the year 2000. He is the vice president of the union of the scientists who work for the EPA testing water for purity. And of course, he tells you how all of these studies, scientific studies, telling you about the profound impact fluoridated water has in the minds of our people. And of course, it's sedative. It alters the behavior. It creates a whole sorts of alteration in behavior and intelligence, but I bet you didn't hear about that from Rush Limbaugh. And then, of course, our January newsletter is a summary of the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman. We'll be glad to send you any one of those letters free of charge. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, you can go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, listen to our programs there 3 hours a day and link to the other programs, and listen another couple of hours a day and then listen to the archives, and you're not going to get a thing accomplished, but you'll sure get a lot of great information. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to getting a case of my books. We're going to reprint Brotherhood of Darkness. I don't know, this is the seventh or eighth reprinting of the book. And basically, the more we print, the cheaper we get them. So we needed, first, to get 40 people to buy cases of the book, and we've already got 18 sold. We have 22 cases left, and if you buy a case of my books, they'll be $2 each. You'll get 120, pardon me, you'll get 62 books for $124. Then, of course, you're going to have to pay the shipping, about $25. But you'll be helping us. The other thing is you'll have an excellent gift for people, but more than that, people have to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle, and there really is organized evil in the world today. That's the only way you can understand what's going on in the world, because if you look at things going on, they really don't make any sense unless you understand there is a spiritual battle taking place behind the political battle that's taking place. And, of course, so many of our political leaders, be they Democrats or Republicans, have already sold their souls to the prince of this world. And, of course, if you want to hear more about that, let me suggest you get our video called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. They sold their souls for rock and roll. And you can't understand Michael Jackson or what's going on with the Michael Jackson trial unless you know his background, where he gets his power from, his notoriety, his success. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. And then, of course, we have Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2. Excellent videos, very professionally done, that will give you the background of what's going on. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. But give serious consideration to getting a case of my books, 62 of them for $124. And then, of course, lend them to people or pass them out or get people to read them. Do anything you can to get them to read them, because you can change their lives, and an awful lot of people have had their lives changed when they suddenly begin to realize the true spirits of nature of what we're up against. And then pray for America. Please pray for revival, but pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, we'll be back once again. May the Lord be with you.